Hey everyone, welcome back to Operation Cultivation with Ariel, Christina, and Casey. Today's topic is going to be on abundance and the importance of remaining in a state of abundance. Oftentimes we go through our days and, you know, obviously every day we're making decisions and taking steps to complete the goals we want to complete, but where are these actions stemming from? Where are these decisions stemming from? Are they coming from a place of lack, or are they coming from a place of abundance and worthiness and love? So we just want to share with you our thoughts on it, maybe share some stories of ours where, you know, we've made this shift. I know I'm constantly watching out for my thought patterning and where my actions and decisions are stemming from. So who wants to kick us off?
I guess I'll go.
All right.
Who are you?
Christina. You should definitely announce that next time.
Yeah, well, I was asking.
Okay. So anyway, I think that where it stems from to think in abundance is first being mindful of your thoughts and where they're going on a day-to-day basis. You know, we often complain before anything else. People ask, how was your day? What did you do today? And the first response usually is negative. You know, I'm not sure why we do that, but many of us do. And that's exactly what we attract mostly back into our lives. So first step in living in a state of mind of abundance, I think, would be to first be mindful of what you're talking about. Speaking aloud definitely creates your reality. You put a lot of power behind your words and how you're feeling regularly. So being mindful of how much you're complaining, really, because we all complain a lot and just that's what we're bringing back into our lives and that's what we're thinking about the most. So living in abundance would be to be aware of your thoughts and aware of what you're speaking aloud and try to catch yourself. And when someone asks, how is your day? Instead of first thinking of what the worst thing that happened to you that day was, maybe think what the best part of your day was. Like Ariel, you always ask what is the highlight of your day because it really triggers that specific, you know, response.
Yeah, being mindful. I love that. Be mindful of the words that you choose. Absolutely. And also the emotions that you're putting out into the universe or into the world. I do choose to say, you know, what is the highlight of your day or highlight of your morning? Earlier, you mentioned in the beginning, you said we focus on the negative, and that is absolutely correct. We do. Why we do that is a survival mechanism. In going all the way back to before the cognitive revolution, even before we started, you know, having some cognizance, our basic survival was the human's ability, just like as in any animal, to see what is wrong and be able to fix it. Because the sooner we notice what is wrong or the bad things around us, the faster we can act to change that, and it increases our chances of survival. So it is a survival mechanism that our brain does it, and it's a good thing. But we have our conscious mind as well that can overregulate that and not give it too much power. There's supposed to be balance in everything. So being mindful absolutely is a great way to start. You know, pay attention. What are you saying? How often are you being negative? How often are you being positive?
Agreed. I think too, going back to the whole, it's like you said, like animalistic part of it, or, you know, survival. It's often seen like weak, the positive person in the group. Sometimes you're viewed as like naive or weak. And so people are afraid to say, man, I'm having a really great day, and let me tell you why. Because they don't want to come off either smug, you know?
Yes, I actually experience that a lot, I feel like. You don't want to come off too positive. I struggled with that in the beginning because I'm a very happy person.
Yes, you are.
I'm a very optimistic person. But I feel like if you express that too much, people think your life is easy, or people think you don't know struggle, or, you know, you don't have to deal with any problems, and that's why you're so happy, which is not the case. I mean, at least
not
for
at
me,
all
it's
times,
not. And I don't
it's
think
not.
It's, yeah. I think for a lot of people, that's not always the case. Happiness is a choice. I consciously choose to be happy despite anything going on. I mean, I have had days where my car has broken down on my way to work. I found out that a payment went through on my bank account where now I'm withdrawn and I needed to buy groceries that day and my kid needs diapers. I mean, I have had the worst days possible, And did I go around pouting and yelling? And no, I did not. I chose, you know, how I know that my power lies in how I react to things.
Right.
And it lies, that's all of our power. And we can consciously choose how we're going to act despite everything going on around us.
100%. And, you know, Christina and I have had that conversation several times, how you can just either you're going to say, today I'm going to be happy. You know, today I'm going to find something beautiful that's going to bring sunshine and light into my day, because we're so surrounded with multi personalities, you know, in our day-to-day life. And it's so easy for people to fall into that pattern of shit.
Negative,
because it's easy and people are drawn to it for some reason. So let me get you on my side with how crappy this is. Isn't this crappy? Look at it.
Misery loves company.
Right. And that's where it's hard sometimes. Like you're saying, your car broke down, you're overdrawn. Somebody's going to come by and smile at you and say, hey, look at the bright side of life. Your first reaction is to be like, you know, you want to punch that person in the face. But you can choose to be like, you're right.
I'm that person that tells myself that.
Yeah.
I mean, I have literally, at first I'm like, God damn it. I can't fucking believe this. Like, why me? Oh, this is so crappy. Those are my initial thoughts. Absolutely. I start beating myself down. But luckily I have that other awareness where I can chime in and say, you know what? Be thankful you're alive. You know, there's a store right there you can grab some water at. You're not going to die.
Mm-hmm.
You can, you know, figure out the money situation. Why don't you call your bank so you can figure that out? And you go down the list and it starts with that first action of deciding, hey, I have more than what I think I do. You know, stop focusing on what you don't have and all of this bad stuff that is happening, mm-hmm. the lack, and focus on all the things that you that are in front of you, because there are things in front of you. And if you shift your attention to them, more of it will come.
Yeah. And if you get into action and get a daily habit, maybe just starting with in the morning, saying something you're grateful for. You know, we're, I think all three of us ladies are a big believer in the power of writing things down. So when we put pen to paper, not texting, not typing, we're putting pen to paper. And then we begin to maybe challenge ourselves and write down five things we're grateful for every day.
I do that every day in my journal.
Right?
Yes. Every day I pick gratitude or love. And I'll write down some days both, because we need both.
Yeah.
And I figure out if I wake up in a space of lack, it is my morning routine. I now started doing it more mentally. And I will think first thing right when my eyes open. I stop, take a deep breath, mm-hmm. and I mentally recount at least five things that I'm thankful for to wake up with that day. And it's not until I do that I get up and I begin getting ready and mm-hmm. I start my day. Another thing I do with my coffee is I'll sit and then I write it down, because I am a big believer in when you write something down, it's you taking action. Just
right.
As you mentioned earlier, we have the thought, you know, we can say it is one way to act on it. But a really good, solid way to act on it is to write that baby down.
Mm-hmm.
And you are now taking an emotion, a thought, and you're putting it into real life. You're manifesting it physically, tangibly.
Right.
And that's powerful.
Absolutely. I agree. 100%.
Casey, you mentioned we're always surrounded, not always, but oftentimes surrounded by negativity, negative people, because like you said, misery loves company. It's easier to be upset. You know, it's easier to go back into our thoughts and think of something that bad happened to us that day or that week, to dwell on it. It's
right.
Just that our ego loves pity. And that reminds me of the phrase, don't let the man get you down, because it's true. News headlines are always, the first headlines are always murder, robbery, something catastrophic, earthquakes, fires. Those are always the first headlines you see on the news, right? We try to stay informed with what's going on in the world, what's going on in our community. But at the same time, that's the first thing that we see. It's always something negative. And it's because people are drawn to it. It's almost like, you know, a soap opera. It's dramatic. People love it. But at the same time, we, with our phones and the way that we live our life, our radio stations even, the podcasts we listen to, we have the ability to customize our life. So we decide what we surround ourselves with. You know, there's going to be negative people around us all the time. There's always going to be an antagonist. But we are also in control of the life that we create for ourselves. What we speak aloud, like we were saying, the radio stations that we listen to, are we listening to upbeat music in the morning before we go to work?
Absolutely.
Are we listening to, you know, sad heartbreak songs? What are we starting our day with? And, you know, what are we looking at on our social media feeds? Obviously, we're none of us are perfect. Yeah, it'd be nice if we can all rise above and not use social media. But it's also a good outlet if we use it the right way. And we can really boost our day by following sources and social media sources that uplift you and talk about positive subjects. And that's something that we are trying to put out into the world as well, is that positive outlet for people so that we don't have, we are not a negative antagonist.
I like that you bring up social media, because earlier we touched on it's important to be mindful of the things we say and the things we do, but I think it's just as important to be mindful of the things you take in.
Oh yeah.
I know we've referenced earlier the transceiver word in human beings being them. But we do, we take in and we output. And I think it, just as important it is to be mindful of what we're outputting, it's just as important to be mindful of what we're inputting into ourselves.
Absolutely.
A tidbit, an interesting tidbit I kind of want to mention. I feel like information is power. I don't feel like I know information
is power.
Yeah, you
know. That's right.
Do you know this? So the news, how you mentioned all this negativity, you see these big dramatic words. It is actually scientifically designed to be that way. And it dates back to our animalistic, our primal nature. And how I referenced earlier, we keep our eye out for negative things because it's a survival mechanism. Raises our cortisol levels, keeps us on high alert, and allows us to survive. So the news and lots of soap operas, you mentioned, lots of movie shows, the reason drama is the most popular category for people to watch, is because of that cortisol level spike. And they do it on purpose. That's why you see more negative stories on the news than positive, because they trigger that. And by default, your body becomes addicted. Your mind becomes addicted to watching those things because it feels like it needs it to survive. And in our day and age, we all know we do not need to, you know all of the catastrophic things that are happening all around the world to survive. If anything, I think the world can use a lot more positivity and more uplifting. A cool challenge I want to actually, maybe I'll do a separate one on this, but compare your daily regular life to when you're watching the news. Compare how you feel.
Oh, see, you know? I get it. Or something.
Literally, my recommendation is to take an hour, watch the news for an hour, and tally positive, negative. Every time you hear something negative or you have a negative story, make a tally mark. Every time you see a positive story, make a tally mark. Then turn it off, go outside, go on a walk or go in a mall, you know, go somewhere public for 1 hour, start your timer with the same thing and tally mark how many times you have a positive experience and how many times you have a negative experience and compare that ratio. It is going to be so high, I guarantee you. And you really see the difference between people who are living their life through a screen and people who are living their life, you know, through real life.
Okay. But abundance.
Abundance. I want to quote something I posted on our Instagram today.
Yeah, I was going to pull some up too. That's funny.
Yeah, where energy goes, where attention goes, energy flows. That was what I posted.
I like it.
And it kind of is a good wraparound for what we've all been talking about, paying attention to what you pay attention to. Because where your attention's going is where that energy, and not just your energy, but cosmic energy, because we're all a part of the universe. We're all connected. What we're feeling and what we're experiencing is also going to be returned to us.
Absolutely.
So, thoughts on attention. Anybody have like a story they would want to share where they shifted their perception on something and it either altered it, changed it, or what they were experiencing was dramatically improved?
I believe that the first time I started to really become cognizant of my my behavior, the way that I responded or reacted, because also sometimes our reactions are just so quick. Like you said, everything is primitive. Like we have a natural primitive nature. And a lot of times we just react. And the most powerful emotion that we have besides love is anger. And sometimes we just react, even to just the most minute situations, we react very powerfully with anger if we don't necessarily agree. So I'd say that was a lot of what I would do often. I became more aware of that. Don't react so quickly. Take a step back. Reassess yourself. Think about what you're about to say, because you can't take back your words once they're out there in the open. And anyone has heard them, including yourself. Like, yeah, you know, sometimes you speak negatively and we start to cling to those thoughts that we have. And we've spoken out loud. It became our reality. So I started maybe 4 years ago to just start being more mindful of my thoughts and how quickly I reacted. That was something I focused on the most, is where my attention was going, because how quickly I would react to certain things. Road rage could be one of them. A lot of Casey knows, most of my friends and family know that I'm it's not severe road rage, but I just react so quickly to something that I probably would do myself on the road, you know? So I think that just little simple things like that, if you notice that you react really quickly negatively, be mindful of that. Try to see if you can, it's almost like a game. Yeah. Try to retract what you're about to do, what you're about to say, and try to turn it around. It's okay to take a second and think about what you're about to say. We're often so rushed to try to say what we got to say, do what we got to do, that we think that we can just take a moment to assess our reactions.
Yeah.
And that makes all the difference in the world, because we immediately feel regret when we react negatively to something that was so petty that we didn't need to. So my suggestion when it comes to where you put your attention, something that really helped for me, is if you quickly react in certain situations and then you often find yourself feeling guilty afterwards, be mindful of it. Start kind of taking a step back and see if it makes a change in your life just from one day to the next. I think that would be really...
Going back to the age-old adage, think before you speak.
Yeah, absolutely. Just take a second. We're all so quick. Especially here in California.
Oh,
everything's
in a
moving
hurry.
So fast.
Yeah.
Me personally, I am so annoyed by people who don't respond to me quick enough. I don't know about you guys, but when I ask somebody a question and they're just like not saying anything, I look at them like, well, what?
Yeah, I've witnessed that.
And sometimes I think like, okay, like, are you even paying attention to me? It bugs me. But really, maybe that person's being mindful. I don't know. Maybe they're just slow reactors.
I have a thought on that, actually, that I would love to touch on.
Go ahead.
We take offense to that. Or, you know, some people would take an offense to that.
Not getting fast enough attention.
Do you mind if I dive in a little bit?
Yeah.
Not that you have to relate to anything I say whatsoever. But taking that, I feel like that feeling comes from a space of lack.
Oh, yeah.
You're not paying attention to me. And if you don't have the self-worth in yourself to know that what you're saying matters, and you being there and in that time and that moment matters truly to your core, you will be offended by them not listening, because you need validation that you are worthy and that you matter, and they're not giving it to you. So now you're upset.
That goes back to social media too. People looking at their phones. How many likes did I get on my post I just put up?
Absolutely. And that's coming from a space of lack. I'm not good enough. I don't have enough friends. I need these likes to prove I have a lot of friends.
Yeah.
You know, I don't have enough people in my life. Not enough people listen to me. Like, all of these come from I'm not enough. And when you live your life in that, the universe is going to constantly give you what you expect. And if you don't think you're enough, then it's not going to give you what you don't think you can handle.
Mm-hmm. Respond to yourself with abundance is what, you know, thinking in abundance. Sometimes when you speak to each other and you're trying to get validation, you're trying to get someone to respond to you quickly. Like you said, it is a state of mind of lack. That's another thing we really need to focus on, is knowing when we are in a state of lack. And little situations like that remind us. So keep it, like you said, keep a tally, keep a check mark on those little situations. Is it bugging you when you talk to somebody about something that happened to you that day and they're not responding to you quick enough? Because that's lack. How about you just have confidence in yourself that you had a great day, whether you can share that with somebody or not, you had a great day and you're remaining in that state of abundance.
Exactly, because you are worthy, you are enough. And the fact that you know you had a good day, who cares if anybody else knows?
You don't need the response. You don't need the validation. Reaction. We sometimes think that we do because for people that we love, you know, maybe we're talking to our parents, you know, maybe we're young and we're sitting at the dinner table, they're asking us how our day was. But when we respond to them with this fantastic day that we had, maybe they're not as responsive as we thought. Maybe our spouse, our significant other.
I think those instances with kids, though, are what breed that that lack of self-love.
Maybe we can hopefully draw in a younger following as well, because I think that it's important that we introduce these mentalities to the younger group of people, because we're cultivating a new generation, I think.
Yes, I definitely think we're cultivating a new generation. I think our generation has a lot of young parents that are torn often between their need for validity and also their need to be a parent. I'm not sure if I said that word right or not.
You saw my face.
Okay.
It just made me laugh.
It's okay. It's okay. Validity. We can also cultivate validity. A whole new American language.
So I do want to bring, you know, all of our experience from us, but now we're adults. I'm focused more on adults, right? And what can we do to shift our perception? A lot of us do live our lives in lack, whether we know it or not. For me, for instance, it started with developing a love for myself, and it really stemmed from a place of insecurity with what I look like. I was heavily picked on as a kid for what I looked like, and that affected me in my adult life. And I lacked a lot of self-confidence. And I realized, you know, a lot of my actions and words, the more I was paid attention to them, they came from a place of fear of I'm not enough or I'm not loved. And before I continue, I do want to say that I think it's important to learn your triggers and figure out where that lack is coming from. I feel like we're saying that and it might not be specific enough. You know, figure out what it is. For me, I wanted validation for the way I looked because I felt I wasn't good enough as I was, whole and complete. So an exercise I did to fix that, and took a long, long time, I still do it to this day, is I write down 5 things I love about myself. And because it doesn't always start, you can't just look in the mirror. I mean, you can, and you can fake it till you make it and say, I love you, you're awesome. But for me, it really helped to be more specific, and it forced me to actually compliment myself. And, you know, doing little things like that, initially you look in the mirror and you're like, oh, I hate my face. You could stop there. And you could end, and you can continue your day, or you can put a bunch of makeup on until you feel good about yourself. Or you can say, you know what? I don't like my face because I don't think I'm pretty enough. I don't think I'm pretty enough because I'm trying to be accepted by society. I'm trying to be accepted by society because I don't think I'm good enough on my own. Well, how can I feel like I'm good enough on my own? Start with the surface and work in. And I don't just compliment external things. I also compliment, you know, I love my optimism, or, you know, I love my energy in the morning, or it'll be, you know, things like that. Sometimes it is, I love my smile. But shifting the gear to focusing on this is what I have, this is what I am, allowed me to cultivate a sense of I am enough because look at all of this stuff that I have. And that can be applied to anything, to money, to, you know, the things you have, material goods. It could be applied to love, friendships, to relationships with your family and your children. I mean, literally, the shift of focus can be applied to all aspects of our life. I think we can all agree.
You had asked for earlier, like, examples or like moments. So I was trying to think of one, like, you ladies were talking. I think the best thing that ever happened to me, like, to really realize how I reacted, was going through, and I'm so sorry to reference it, but going back to like AA and sitting down with my sponsor, and, you know, you're going through the steps, and one of them is they get to point out your character defects. They get to write them down on a piece of paper and tell you everything that you are just fucked up, right? This is why, like, oh, you're egotistical, you're materialistic. Not that these were mine, but just
and
examples.
If they are, that's fine. And, yeah, no, we all have things to work on.
Right, just giving examples.
Yeah.
And so for like a year, I carried this piece of paper with me, and any time I felt myself kind of like slipping into any one of those, I would read that list and just be like, I don't want to be any one of those things. And kind of very similar to what you both had brought up about going within and, you know, really looking and searching, why am I feeling that? What am I lacking at this second? Or what's the deal? And then just switching it around. Most of the time I'd end up laughing at myself. Like, this is so ridiculous. You know, like I'm 35 years old and I'm looking at a piece of paper and telling myself to, you know, get your shit together. But it worked, right? So
that's
fast
all
forward.
That matters.
That's all that matters.
Yes.
Right? So whatever works for you, works for you. But that was sort of like the defining moment where I really had to look at myself. Because there was this other human being staring at me saying, look, I've spent all this time with you, and here's what I see. Yeah, here's what I think, and here's what I see. One of them was that I searched out acceptance in places I didn't need to, and for no reason.
I think we all do
that. And we've all been there. And again, it goes back to what both of you touched on, how it is when you grow up as a kid, what was instilled into you. But, you know, you also mentioned, Ariel, the affirmations, which if anybody's been on our Instagram, which you, if you haven't, please do, Operation Cultivation.
Yeah, at Operation Cultivation. Check us out. Give us a follow.
Yeah, we got some good posts up there. All three of us will be posting. But, you know, we've been talking about affirmations the last couple of days is what I'm talking about. And like going within and really telling yourself these things, which are hard. And that's one of the things I also really stress on, you know, my energy clients and the kids I mentor, whatever. It's doing that every day, putting your hands right on your solar plex, taking a moment to feel it and like tell yourself like, hey, I love you, Casey Mae. You're awesome.
And I deserve this.
And I deserve this.
That's my, I need it constantly. I do that a lot. And it's, you do need to tell yourself you deserve it.
Yeah,
you
and
do.
That's so hard sometimes because we want to tell ourselves we're not worthy. But why? Why aren't we worthy?
Yeah,
why
is that divine person? Beings. Yeah, we exactly. are absolutely worthy.
And everything, if you live your life in a place of abundance and gratitude, which is, you know, what we're expressing here, how to do that, you will receive everything that is good that you deserve. It's
really
so
will.
Simple, but so hard. At
you
the
live
same
in gratitude
time.
Though when you are knowledgeable and you recognize all of the good in your life, you start to see so much of it appearing. Little simple things.
Yeah.
You can start to recognize, say, for example, you really liked this beautiful purple frame that you saw and it was so beautiful and you just had positive thoughts and emotions about it. And you thought to yourself, I'd love to see that in my home. I deserve this piece, this materialistic piece. And you don't give yourself any hell about it. A lot of the times when we want things, we put ourselves down about it.
Oh, yeah, for sure.
We start to think we're materialistic, but we are in a material world. We are energetic beings and we are in this skin suit, you know? And so we are on this planet and we are in a material realm. And I think we need to remember that it's part of our experience here to realize that we can create things and we can bring certain material objects into our lives. And
yeah, it's okay.
It's okay. Yeah. We have to remember that it is okay to feel that way and want things. And we put ourselves down about it a lot, but having positive feelings about even a small material object and being grateful about it, grateful for it, well, you'll start to see these little tiny things come into your life. And then it just, when you start to recognize it, it lights off these little sparks and you're so excited because you're starting to actually see it because you're aware of these positive emotions that you had about it. And now it's here. And so those little steps become bigger steps. And on a day-to-day basis, we need to be mindful. I personally, on my way to work every day, I'm sitting in traffic and that sucks. But I always remind myself to turn down the music, stop and give gratitude for my electricity, the fact that I have a roof over my head. Because sometimes I'm like, oh, I'm not comfortable in my living situation. I wish I had a bigger house. And I think those thoughts often, but I try to bring myself back to earth and I try to remember, at least I have a roof over my head. Not everyone can say that. Yeah. I'm comfortable. I have a safe vehicle to get me to work every day. I have a loving family. I am not fighting with anybody in my life right now. And that's something to be grateful for. And when I'm done with my bout of gratitude on my way to work, I then give my own affirmation. And I go into the I am and I have. Because you have to live in that moment and believe that you have in that moment what you want. Because if you're talking about what you want, it's not something you physically have. You're not actually creating it. And that's difficult, I think, to separate the I want from the I have.
Well, also to the separation of one, like the manifestation of good things, like, you know, your goals versus the lacking want. You know, some people get that confused, just like you were saying, you might put yourself down if you want that beautiful mirror picture frame. It's knowing the difference when you're manifesting something for the greater purpose.
Versus. I think it's okay to know what you want. Mm-hmm. And I correct me if I'm wrong. I want to say, Christina, you mean you focus on, you realize you always have everything you need. That the purpose of focusing on what you have and how that's going to bring abundance into your life is because you are showing the universe that you trust it is providing everything to you that you need. Mm-hmm. And in knowing and trusting that it is going to give that to you because you deserve it, you can manifest anything that you want. And I mean, of course, it's going to take work on your side. Nothing's going to just be handed to you. But just do not at all focus on what you don't have. I kind of wanted to get into some techniques. Mm-hmm. You guys have any that you want to throw down? I'd love to hear them. A few that I've been practicing. I read a cool one. I don't practice this. I want to. Is keeping a $100 bill in your wallet and knowing that, I guess this shows that you always know you have enough, mm-hmm. you know, that you have plenty of monetary wealth, right? And like we said, energy is energy, right? Whether it's money, it's food, it's health, it's happiness, it's love, it's all as some sort of energetic currency. And so that's just one form of it showing like, you know, I always have that there. I'm free to do as I please. Another technique is you mentioned not beating yourself up for wanting to buy something. When you make a decision to buy something, own that decision. I was the biggest person. I grew up in a very, you know, poor household or very just, you know, we weren't wealthy by any means. And we were always watching what we spent. I was always limited financially. So we were always counting in money. Then I came aware of the fact that I was constantly living my life in a space of lack. And every time I went to make a purchase, I was like, oh, can I afford this? I would literally go onto my bank account, look how much I had, deduct my bills, count, like put away how much I wanted to save for that time, like pay period, and then realize how much spending money I have, deduct groceries, and then think about, do I want to buy anything else in these next like 2 weeks? This is what I was doing every time I had to buy something.
That's nuts.
It was insane. It was from such a space of lack and just, I don't have enough. I'm not going to ever have enough. And
I'm so opposite. I don't even look at my bank account. I'm like,
I do that now.
I do air math.
Yes. So now I just trust when I want something. Well, of course I'm keeping tabs on my spending mentally. Right. I know I'm not just going out and splurging and swiping my card or anything.
Right. Mindful.
But yeah, I'm being mindful. But when I want to buy something and I know I have enough money in there, I buy it and I don't feel bad about it. I don't second guess it. And I just think I get paid in 2 weeks. Like, even if I'm broke, I don't care. I wanted this and I deserve it because I wanted it. Right. And that simple change has actually manifested more wealth into my life than I ever thought possible. And, you know, it's like this, when you give out the sense of security, security is given back to you.
Mm-hmm. And 100%.
It's awesome. I love it.
Don't worry, be happy.
It's yeah.
it's the truth. I personally...
Thank you, Bobby McFerrin.
Yes. I have a weird thing that I noticed about myself recently. I cannot tolerate tedious, minute tasks. I will not check my bank account. I will not clean silverware. It's the weirdest thing. Anything that are small things that you need to do on a day-to-day, such as check your bank account, I won't. I will not.
maybe every like 6 months. But in a strange way, not worrying about small, tedious things have actually really helped me to manifest more abundant, larger things into my life. Not worrying about the nickel and diming. Like you, Ariel, I also grew up with parents who focused majority of the time on lack mm-hmm. and money and the lacking of. And so even to this day, I struggle with it. But, and I'm not saying be delusional by any means, because we all have to be adults, of course, and a lot of us have children and families. But like Ariel was saying, don't focus too much on the financial aspect of it. And go ahead and get those things that you want. And if you're constantly staring at your bank account, you're just going to see the money dwindling down. Mm-hmm. And what's weird is since I stopped worrying about those small nickel and diming purchases that I make, I swear I'll look at my, when I do look at my bank account,
it's
I have way more money than I thought I would ever have.
It's
I was
a
like,
pleasant
where
surprise.
Did this even come from?
Right.
It's so weird. But the reality is, don't be delusional, but at the same time, don't worry so much. Worrying destroys all positive abundance in your life.
You saying that triggered something amazing, because we were talking about, you know, where attention goes, energy flows. So when you're focusing on what you're spending, you're focusing on a deficit, right? You're focusing on, I just paid $40, say, right, for whatever it was. And you're focusing on that diminishing. Now I'm down, I'm lacking $40. Shift that, right? Now what we focus on is I'm gaining a new wallet.
Yes.
You know, we're focusing on what we have and what we just gained. We don't care that we lost $40. We didn't lose $40. It just was transferred into now another gain. We like switched it.
Another material thing.
Material energy.
I mean, everything is money is materialistic and we cling to it. But what is it if it's just sitting in our wallet? We need it for a reason, to pay our bills, to buy things for ourselves. But if we're just putting it in our bank account or in our wallet and we're just leaving it there because we're clinging to that physical object as well.
And that's fear.
Yeah, that is fear, mm-hmm. 100%. So, I mean, point blank, anywhere that we've gone in this conversation, what we're trying to express to everyone is not to lose yourself, to remember that we need to be conscious of our thoughts on all the time. And it becomes to the point where in the beginning it's tedious. It could be difficult, because when you're forced to be aware of your thoughts, you start to realize how much you think negatively. But then it's a practice. Practice makes perfect. And once you start to really focus on thinking abundantly and positively, at some point you're going to realize you don't even think about it anymore. You were just that way. And life is going to turn around for you.
Definitely. I want to end our little session here with an exercise for people, just to really put into perspective how important where you focus on is, and just really highlight that whole idea of what you focus on and what you put your energy into. That is what's going to be given back to you from this world, because there's so much you can get from it. And whatever you put your mind to and what you put your attention on, that's what you will receive. So I want everybody to close their eyes for 1 minute, take a big deep breath, open them back up. If you have somebody there to time you, cool, have them time you. If not, set your own timer. This is what I did. You set it to 60 seconds. Or actually, you know what? Set it to 30 seconds. We won't even take that long, and we won't take the full 30 seconds here. But you start it and you start looking around the room, and I want you to look everything that's red. And you just start counting one by one, you know, look at everything. I'll give you some time. I might not go the full 30 seconds just for, you know, the show's sake, but you should have a number in your head by now. Okay. Say the number out loud, how many red things there are. And now I'm going to flip the question on you, say, without looking around, how many yellow things are there? And even though you just spent 30 seconds, 60 seconds, whatever amount of time you gave yourself, do it on somebody else too, to even blow their mind. You will realize that in that time frame, because you were so focused on all of the red things, you cannot even recall one thing that was yellow or blue or green or any other color I could have listed off. And if that doesn't show you the power of your attention, despite all of the numerous things that are probably surrounding you right now, I really don't know what does. So stay mindful, be aware, pay attention to your thoughts and where they're stemming from, and stay in a place of abundance because you deserve it and you're worth it. And we love you. Till next time.
Amen.
Bye. Satnam.